Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ethics Talk. My name is Hope May. I'm the director of the Center for Professional and Personal Ethics at Central Michigan University, where I also teach philosophy. If you're a regular listener of Ethics Talk, you may detect once again a different format. And for yet a third time, we're bringing you a show on the bar exam in a slightly altered format. If you are a regular listener, you know that the show is typically conducted by students, Nick, Sandra, Emily, and Amanda. But because the crew is basically out of the country or otherwise involved with graduate school stuff, different format tonight. I am joined by two guests. So there's three participants tonight. All of us have taken the bar exam, and I'm joined by John DiGiacomo, who is a 2009 graduate of Michigan State University College of Law, and Anderson Duff, who is also a 2009 graduate of Michigan State University College of Law. And we will be talking tonight about the bar exam. We have discussed the bar exam on this show two times prior. However, when we discussed those shows, it was before the bar exam. And we talked about studying for the bar exam. We talked about Barbary. If you're interested in those shows, they are archived. If you go to ethicstalk.cmich.edu, you can access our archives through iTunes. Tonight, we have all taken the bar exam, and has it been 2 weeks, guys? I think 2 weeks from today?
I have no idea.
I honestly don't know. Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Let me look at my calendar. I can tell us in a second.
It just says
it's
so
been
much.
Exactly 2 weeks. Yeah,
exactly 2 weeks. Incredible. And listeners, if you can hear the fact that we don't even know. the only reason why I know is because last week I took another exam, which I'll get to, but it has been 2 weeks since we've taken the bar exam. And so our objective tonight is to give you sort of an inside view, relatively recently after we've all done this thing, of what it was like for us taking this exam. And the show will begin chronologically. That is, we're going to start from the night before the exam to the exam is 2 days, to the aftermath, both the immediate and where we are right now tonight. And as you know, we're not really all there yet. We haven't collected ourselves, at least I haven't. But our objectives are to give you sort of an inside look about the bar exam, and particularly focusing on the emotional aspect of it, the test of will that it is, because it is a test of will. At least 50% of it, I think, is about will. Emotion and a psychological head game. The other objective that I have is, even if you don't take the plan to take the bar exam, or you're thinking about it, not sure, I hope to pepper this conversation with some information, albeit light information, some stuff from neuroscience, performance psychology. Performance psychology is a branch of psychology that is concerned with, as it states, optimal performance. It's used by the military because people who are fighting the good fight are doing so under extremely stressful circumstances, usually with very little sleep. And so there's a whole battery of scientists studying when these peaks and valleys occur in performance. And I hope to incorporate some of that in tonight's discussion. We will see how it goes. So we will be taking calls. Our phone number is 646-727-3928. That's a New York number. It will be routed to me in Michigan. But that's basically our plan for tonight. So again, Anderson, Duff, and John. Anderson has taken the New York bar, and John and myself have taken the Michigan bar. And so Anderson, I'm going to start with you. Can you just explain to the listeners the structure of the New York bar exam?
Sure. The New York bar exam is a two-day exam, and each day is split into a morning session and an afternoon session. And the first day, it tests exclusively New York law, and the morning session is all essay questions on New York law. I think, there were three of them. And then the afternoon session is two essay questions on New York law, and then one thing they call the multi-state performance test. That might be wrong. It's the MPT. And it basically, they're just testing, they give you, it's like writing a closed book memo where they give you a series of fake cases and a fake memo from your boss, and they give you an assignment, some kind of assignment, and sort of just testing whether or not you can actually do something that you're probably going to have to do on a daily basis as a lawyer. And then the second day is two 100 question tests, and they're all multiple. It's all multiple choice, and it tests sort of the survey. It's the same thing that everybody takes, the multi-state. Right.
Right, and so that's the same second day that people in Michigan are doing. But just going back to the memo, how long do you have to do that?
It's just, you mean in practice?
No, I mean, you're doing it there in the exam, correct?
Right, right.
So do they give you like an hour or what?
Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, well, what they do is they give you, you know, I forget exactly. I think it's a 3-hour block. And they recommend that you spend 90 minutes on the memo portion. Okay. So there are two essays and that memo that you have to complete. So okay. I allotted my time as 45 minutes for each essay question, and then 90 minutes for the memo. And actually, for some reason, when I was adding 90 and 90 in my head, instead of 180, I got 190. So I actually was finishing the memo and thinking, man, I am way ahead of schedule here. And then they announced 15 minutes, and I thought, oh, I'm really actually right on schedule.
So you took the whole time.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yep. All right. And we'll come back to you in a second. But, John, so how does the Michigan bar exam differ from that? We know that the second day is the same, but how does the first day differ?
Well, the first day was 15 essays. If I remember correctly, it was 9 essays in the morning and then 6 in the afternoon, which covered, I believe, 16 subjects. We didn't have any kind of practice-type question like the memo that Anderson had. It was two 3-hour blocks. I mean, that's about it. It's basically just an essay exam.
Wasn't the second block 2 hours?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes, because it was 6 essays. That's right. It was 2 hours. So 3 hours in the morning, then 2 hours in the afternoon.
And did you take the whole time?
Yes, I did for both.
Yeah, so did I. In fact, during the first, and let me say, what we're saying now is really, and how I've divided the show and how you should think about the bar exam, assuming that you have a two-day-long bar exam, there's really 4 quadrants to this exam. Day 1 has 2 parts. Day 2 has 2 parts. And each of the parts is separated by a break. And Anderson, did you have like a 90-minute break between the morning and the afternoon sessions?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So imagine you're going for 3 hours, 90-minute break, basically another 2 to 3 hours. And so we've divided this conversation up into these quadrants. And I remember quadrant 1 for myself. I wasn't even on the 3rd blue book. They give you three blue books, three questions per blue book. And I hadn't even started on my 3rd blue book, and there was like, I don't know, a half an hour left. So, that was great. But, okay, so that's the structure of the exam. And as we said, Anderson has taken the New York bar. And so can you just describe sort of the physical conditions in which you took the bar, like the room, how it was organized, that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. I did a practice exam in Manhattan before I went to Buffalo to take the actual exam. And they did the practice in the Javits Center, which is where they host the real exam. So I got to see two different locations. And they were both just gigantic halls that had kind of, the crummy little fold-out tables that are usually covered with a tablecloth or something, except these weren't, so you could see them all dented up and torn up, and just little fold-out chairs. And I forget, I want to say it was something like 3,500 people were at the Buffalo location.
Wow.
So there's several thousand people that descended on Buffalo, and we're all in this big conference center. The location in Buffalo had two floors and several rooms, so it actually didn't feel quite so, I didn't feel as much like cattle in Buffalo. When I took the practice exam at the Javits Center, it was just one gigantic room for everybody, and at the very front of the room, they have this giant metal gate that, it looks like the kind of thing that a semi-truck would back up to, and right before they start the exam, they lower that gate. And I don't know why they do that, because you can still get out. There are side doors that you can, if you need to use the restroom or something. They must really just do that just to mess with you or something.
Oh,
I don't know. But yeah, when they did that, even in the practice exam, it was devastating.
Oh, my God. That's so awful. And so, on the real exam, are you sitting directly across from somebody? You said it wasn't really like you didn't.
There was
really
nobody directly across from me, but there were people immediately on both sides of me. It wasn't like there was a space between us.
Okay. And so, John, can you describe the setting in which you took the exam, which actually both of us took the exam?
Well, it was held at the Breslin Center, which is where Michigan State plays basketball, and Michigan State is a Big Ten school. So the Breslin Center is necessarily extremely imposing. I mean, when you walk in, you look down, and it's like most stadiums. You see the basketball floor. There's huge flights of stairs. And on the floor, there were, I'm not sure how many tables, but there were probably hundreds, I would say hundreds of tables, like Anderson described, just basically beat up and, brown. And we had people sitting across from us at 45-degree angles on both sides, not directly in front of us. And it was just very kind of scary in a way until you got over it, because you're sitting at the bottom of this floor and you have these huge banners of these basketball, I guess, stars and, things around you and huge scoreboards. And I can imagine that it has, a similarity to playing in a big final, Final Four game, sitting down there and taking the PAR exam.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because, at one point, one of the shows that we did, you and I, John, Nathan said, we're speaking about this thing as if we're, about to enter some athletic contest, like we're training for some contest, and I said that that's exactly right, and I think that's the exact way to think about this, that you have to approach the bar exam as if you're training for a competition. You have to be very methodical about it. You have to basically keep a very tight schedule, and you have to expect this pressure, of the pressure cooker when you're in the room, which we're about to get to. But so that's sort of the situation, the environment in which you're taking the exam, describe the exam. So let's roll the clock back, Anderson, to the night before. Can you remember back that far?
In preparation for this this show, I was talking to someone else who took the exam in Buffalo, and we were trying to remember exactly what we had been doing. And I remember I arrived in Buffalo. I had to drive there from Brooklyn. Arrived in Buffalo ended up being the late evening, the day before the exam. That's because I got lost on the way to Buffalo. I didn't quite realize Buffalo is closer to Lansing than it is to Brooklyn.
It is, and, you're right about
that. Yeah. And my father had gotten me for my birthday or one of my last birthdays, one of those things that gives you directions while you're driving.
Oh, those are horrible.
Yeah, but I've become completely dependent on it, and somebody broke into my car a few weeks before the bar exam and stole it. So then I had to print out maps. So I'm driving to Buffalo with just these maps that I had drawn by hand because my printer was out of ink. And so, of course, I got lost, but I managed to keep my cool, and we got up there and later than I wanted to. But so I got in, checked in. I met a good friend of mine who was also there. She had arrived the previous day, and then went back to my room and sort of started going over my notes for a couple subjects that I thought for sure would come up and did not. And there was my friend called me and told me that there was I asked her what she was doing. She said she was watching the History Channel, so I switched it to the History Channel, and it was a documentary about hippies. And nothing makes me want to study and be square like watching a documentary about hippies. So I ended up watching that for the rest of the evening, and then I fell asleep.
So you were able to sleep that night?
Yes, I was. I actually went to bed quite early.
Good. Okay, and Sean, do you remember?
Well, I hate to divulge this, but I have an extremely hard time sleeping. So prior to the bar exam, I went to a doctor, and I explained the situation, and he basically prescribed me sleep medication. Mm-hmm. So 5 days prior to the exam, I was taking this, at like 8 o'clock at night, and then falling asleep and waking up in the morning and then testing my mind first thing in the morning. And because it's so hard for me to sleep a lot, that helped me to sleep. But the day before, I did preparation, which people told me not to. A lot of my friends sat around and watched cartoons or did something fun or, went out and sat at the beach or something. But I actually did preparation. It probably did not help because it just increased, the panic level prior to the exam. But I was able to sleep. And based on talking to other people, they were not able to sleep. So I kind of felt fortunate that I was able to actually get some sleep.
Yes. And, I don't think I think that was smart that you went to go see a doctor, because one of the things that I wanted to say is, yourself, and you know what kind of person you are, and, this is very, very stressful, and if you know that you're the kind of person who can't sleep, then I think what you did was, very wise. You're sort of testing yourself, and I think a really good thing to do before the bar exam, if you're aware of this, is to start experimenting. I myself have a difficult time sleeping, and a half an Ambien doesn't for me. So even though I did that evening, I was unable to sleep. I was up at like 4 a.m. and I was studying commercial paper. And all the things that I didn't study because I was playing percentages, and those things are rarely on the bar, and indeed they were not on the bar. And so I decided to, study commercial paper, conflicts, and something else I cannot remember, secured transactions. In any case, if you're aware that you're that kind of person, then you may want to start experimenting like 3 months out with sleep medicines and how you feel the next day and so forth. I think it's a very smart thing to do. Okay, so John, you were able to sleep for how long?
I was able to sleep until about 5:30 in the morning. And then I got up and I prepared my plastic baggie, which we should probably tell the audience is we're allowed, in Michigan at least, a plastic bag that's a gallon bag, and you can only have certain items in it. So I basically sat there between 5:30 and, the time to leave for the testing center, looking over this bag to make sure I didn't have any prohibited items, I didn't have anything on my body, and just generally worrying about whether or not I was going to actually make it in the door.
Yep, I was worried about the same thing. At Anderson, were you able to bring in a plastic baggie?
Well, I actually had not brought one. I was just planning on carrying pens and pencils in, and that was it. But then one of my friends, actually my friend that I met, told me that she had an extra plastic baggie. So I hit her up for that and also some mechanical pencils. And she wanted me to say that if I passed the bar, that's why.
Well, now it's preserved for posterity, so
right,
there you
yeah.
go. All right, so as we're going chronologically, so we're going to getting up to the day of and the first quadrant. And so first quadrant is like the very first part of the bar exam. And Anderson, how did you feel when they said go? So you're doing essays, the first quadrant, correct?
That's correct, yeah. You know, after they said go, I think it was just kind of very mechanical. Prior to them saying start, I was, I guess you could say terrified. The essay portion is the, I mean, as y'all know, is the day where you could just get something that you've never heard of or that you didn't really study all that much, and they could hit it really hard just randomly. So I was terrified that that was going to happen to me. So before they started, I was very, very nervous. Once they told us to get going, then I was just thinking about time management. And I just kind of, I don't hardly remember. I was surprisingly relaxed, I guess, but I was really just thinking of it in terms of how much time I can spend on each essay, and then I would break it down, because each essay for us, we only had three. It sounds like it's sort of different than Michigan, and each essay has some subsections, so.
And so I know it's a lot to ask you to remember 2 weeks ago, especially for something that's so huge, but do you remember if you felt like, because you said, you know, you were sort of surprised that this, you were very mechanical and you were looking at the time and the, obviously your adrenaline's kicking in. And I'm wondering if you remember how you felt about your focus. Like, did you feel that you were, you know, really reading with great attentiveness and like on the material, like engaged with it? Do you remember that feeling at all?
Yeah, I really, really did. And hopefully I was, but I really did feel like I was taking my time while I was reading, and then hopefully putting a little bit of thought into the answers before I started writing them. And I think that the time management really, like thinking about it in terms of time management, helped me do that, because I realized that you have more time. At least I always trick myself into thinking that it's kind of a race, and it's not.
And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but just sort of put it out there now. So it is, you know, given the research in performance psychology, if you're going to feel focused, it is going to be basically in the first quadrant. And I'm wondering if you noticed a decline as not even the day went on, but even the next day, did you feel like less on it as the exam went on?
Well, you know, the very next quadrant, the afternoon session, I added 80 and 80 and got, or 90 and 90 and got 190. So maybe I was less focused.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as far as the next day I felt much more comfortable just because it was multiple choice.
Okay.
So I actually felt like I was pretty focused during the multiple choice section.
Even in the fourth quadrant?
The fourth quadrant was one of my strongest. I felt like, I mean, I have no idea whether it actually was, but
That's really interesting, and that actually contradicts the research. But John, we'll get to you in a second, but I like that you're saying, at least I felt it, because as we know, we've done many practice exams, and this is why, and I know that this is about, you know, the emotional toll of taking the exam, but as you guys know from studying and doing practice exams, when you take a practice exam, you have that subjective feeling, like, especially when it's multiple choice, it's definitely B. And then you go over it, and it's D. And am I alone here?
No,
not at all.
Yeah,
okay.
I just didn't want to interrupt you. That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But the subjective feeling of certainty, you got to get over that if when you're studying for the bar. And that's what's so frustrating about it, because you study for so long. At least this is my experience. Study for so long. You keep doing these practice tests. and you'll see peaks and valleys. There are times when you'll see yourself improving. There are times when you see yourself declining. The one constant thing is your subjective feeling of certainty while you're taking it. And this is why the whole thing is, as I said at the beginning, largely a psychological game. But, okay, so you felt really strong at the end, at least subjectively. And I'll get back to that when we talk about John. Do you remember how you felt when you were in that first quadrant?
I think that I felt the best during the first quadrant. Like Anderson, I was also terrified of the essays because they could throw anything at us. And in some parts they did, but there was nothing that, at least from my subjective understanding of what I saw, there was nothing that I couldn't answer with, I guess, a little bit of reasoning and, I guess, the tools that we had learned over the course of the 2 months that we were studying. So I did feel the strongest during that first quadrant.
Mm-hmm. All right. So did you guys notice after the first quadrant anything about your peers or yourself? Like, how did you feel when they said, okay, break, you have 90 minutes for lunch? Anderson, we'll start with you.
Well, I sort of hightailed it out of the convention center. I was one of the first people to get in line to check out and leave, so maybe that says something about where my mental state was. But I met a couple classmates from Michigan State, and we went to a pizza place around the corner, and they talked football, and that was about it. They were so calm, it was kind of unnerving for me, but hopefully I didn't let on.
Okay, yeah, and John, what did you notice?
I noticed a split. Some of the people that I had talked to, I made the mistake of talking about the exam with a few people, and some of them that I talked to felt extremely anxious about the essay portion. They felt that there were issues that they didn't know or that they had missed. And then another section of the same group of people felt that they did really well. And I felt pretty confident about my answers, but, you know, of course, they give us those booklets, and we go back, and we have the ability to look at what the questions were, and, you know, I don't feel so confident now. But
have you looked at the questions since then?
I have, yeah. I looked at them. I'm sorry. I know, when I moved, I packed them away, so I wouldn't be tempted to look at them again after I'd gotten out of the exam. But, you know, during lunch and everything, we sat in a non-bar talking room, which Michigan State had set up for us. And people seemed generally calm, at least some of them. And I felt pretty good about it afterward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe I was being very selective in my perception, but one thing that struck me was, I felt very happy, and I saw other people, like, happy. I just noticed a lot of happy people.
I did, too.
And it was really surprising to me, and I said to Nathan, actually, on the phone, I said, you know, it's that feeling of goal attainment. And he said, that's not it. It's the fact that they're sort of relieved that it's not, the essays weren't so horrible because, as Anderson said, I think it was Anderson who said it, they could throw anything at you. But I was surprised that there were not a lot of brooding people and just a lot of people talking and happy and sort of managing, I guess, that way. And I think to bring a little bit of performance psychology, neuroscience, stuff that I've mentioned before in our other shows about the bar. If you're familiar with the distinction between the left brain and the right brain, the left brain is the part of the cerebral hemisphere responsible for linear, logical thinking, reasoning, that sort of thing, where the right brain is more creative, intuitive, seeing the big picture, seeing patterns and things. And I think the essay, I mean, the law exam itself is, you know, largely left brain. But if there's any part of the exam that's going to be right brain, it's the essay, because there's a little bit of creativity involved, seeing how to apply the law to the facts and that sort of thing. But, you know, you need to give yourself a break after so much left brain activity, and there's, we've talked about this before, the ultradian rhythm, It's also correlated to something in psychology called ego depletion, and I haven't seen a explicit link between the two, but I think they are connected. And there's some research that shows that our willpower and our concentration and our will and discipline is limited. There is a limited supply of it, and that in order to obtain maximal performance, you've got to give yourself a break. And I think, you know, talking about football or just basically not talking about anything and laughing, I think that's probably a really healthy thing to do in that 90 minutes. It's a period of renewal and rejuvenation. And I saw people just sort of naturally doing that during that break. So that's one thing that did surprise me. Of course, you have to go back. For people in Michigan, it was only for 2 hours, but Anderson, you had to go back for another 3 hours, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
All right, and so can you remember how you felt then?
Well, it was the same feeling of extreme anxiousness waiting for the session to begin because I knew that I had two essay questions to answer where, again, there could be something on there that I just wasn't very familiar with or didn't know. And the essays really terrified me. Once I had finished those and moved on to the memo portion, that is really sort of, I hesitate to say a mindless exercise, and especially because, I mean, I could have done terribly on it, but it seemed like it was mostly testing you on your ability to structure a memo. So if you could put it all together, then you were okay. So I felt like it was mostly testing time management. So it wasn't nearly as stressful as the essays. And once I finished the essays, I felt a huge sense of relief, and then it was just sort of glancing at the clock every few minutes.
So you had to sit there for how long?
Well, it was 3 hours. So I gave myself 90 minutes for both essays and finished right about that time. I had 90 minutes for the memo section.
Okay.
And yeah, so I was there for 3 hours.
Okay. That's right. You said that before. Okay. And, John, what about you?
I went into the second essay section and I felt extremely confident coming out of the first session and then after the long break. And then I kind of got an extremely logically rigorous contracts problem. And it really slowed me down. It almost killed my confidence immediately. And I'm not sure if it was because it was about the time where, I guess, eating food and then kind of slowing your brain down because your body is digesting food at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it really killed the pace of my essays. And I think that's really the only difference between the two sessions for me. I came out of the second session feeling a little bit less confident than the first, but still I didn't. But that there was anything that I didn't know or couldn't deal with.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And so I think we'll revisit this topic again when we talk about day two and the MBE, which was the same for all of us. But, you know, going back to your comment, like you started to feel sort of not as confident after this contracts question. I see it pains me to hear you mention that because now I'm remembering the question that you're talking about. I have a packet of essays sitting just right next to me, and I do not want to look at it. I refuse to look at it. But what I wanted to say is going back to the research, 3-4 o'clock is known as the breaking point. This is the time of the day when the valleys or the troughs in our circadian ultradian rhythms match, and we're sort of, all of our rhythms are sort of pulling downwards, and they're both at their valleys, and after eating, and it's when there's the lowest performance. It's called the breaking point, and it's been established to exist, and I think especially in day two, which we're about to get to, I felt it very strongly on day two. But and also, you've just been working so long. You've been using your concentration, your adrenaline's been going, you've been focusing and focusing and focusing, and you can only do that for so long before you start to lose focus. So I think that's probably why the second portion, John, you started to feel a little bit different. And that contracts essay was disconcerting. So, all right, MBE, the evening. Anderson, so what did you do when you got out of there?
I believe that so many people had told me that that JFK didn't pass the New York bar exam on the first try, that I started snapping at people who told me that, and one of the people that I snapped at was my grandmother. So I think that as soon as I left, I called my grandmother and I said, "Remember when I yelled at you for telling me that John?" I said, "I'm sorry," and because that actually was very, it made me feel a lot better thinking about that. And when I left the exam, I went back to my hotel room and started doing practice multiple choice questions very quickly. Started watching some cheesy 80s movie, and I was talking to my friend trying to remember what it was, but we couldn't remember, and that's all I did for the rest of the evening.
Were you able to actually concentrate on those multiple choice questions?
For maybe a half an hour, and then it was just, then I turned on the movie, and I was trying to do both at the same time, and it very quickly became watching the movie and laying in bed.
Yeah, at that point, you're pretty fried.
Yeah,
yeah, they tell us, you know, don't do anything that night, to which I respond, as if.
Yeah.
You really can't. I'm sorry. But, okay, so, John, what did you do the night after the first day?
After I came home, I went for a bike ride with my wife, and coming back, I had these grand plans that I was going to sit down and review these kind of high-level concepts from each subject. I had created a kind of a mini outline to deal with. And I ended up just sitting there and staring into space for maybe 3 or 4 hours and, you know, playing on my computer for a while. Then eventually I finally fell asleep, and that was about it.
Yeah, like I said, as if. I was definitely, when I got out of there, I was sort of hyper and, like, tense and just very sort of nervous energy. And I drove to my apartment, and I worked out. That is what I did, and it was the best thing I could have done because it just got me, like, my body was working instead of my mind. And when I got home, I was just exhausted. I realized how tired I was, and I was actually able to sleep that night. So, you know, you know what kind of person you are. If you're the kind of person who gets something from working out, from going for a jog, it may be the ideal thing for you after that first day. For me, that was the godsend and helped me to sleep. So, day two. And so you guys were both able to sleep then on day one, I'm presuming, that evening?
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. All right, and so let's talk about the third quadrant, Anderson. So this is the MBE, and so this is something that we all did at the same time, same day, the 200-question multiple-choice exam. But, Anderson, explain to our audience what one of these, like, by question, can you clarify, you know, we're not talking about, like, a sentence, right, or, like, you know, question could be.
I don't even know how to answer that. I don't know. It's the kind of question where even if you could eliminate, I mean, even if it was the kind of stuff where even if I was sure that I knew the right answer, there would be at least one other answer that could be right. And oftentimes the one I was sure was correct was not the right one. And the right answer wasn't even the second one that I thought was for sure the other right answer. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was just, I don't know how they come up with that stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, and right. I wasn't getting at what I was trying to get at, just like how long these questions are. Some of them. I mean.
Oh right. I'm sorry.
It's like, that's okay. No, I mean, great points on both ends. We're not talking about your average multiple choice question here.
Yeah, some of them. You know, some of them are shorter than others, but some of the real property questions and other questions that are kind of involved fact patterns like that could take more than a minute just to read the question.
Yeah.
Or close to a minute just to read the question.
Yeah. And so did you feel pretty focused for that third quadrant?
You know, I have to say I think that I did, but I really have no idea. There were some practice exams that I would do where I felt extremely confident. and I would do very marginally, and then somewhere I felt just devastated after taking the practice exam, and I did quite well. So I have no idea what I felt focused, but I don't know what that really means.
Right, and yeah, I think again, you know, we've made the point one time where it doesn't hurt to make it again, that if your subjective feeling of certainty, you got to leave that at the door. And that's a very, very hard thing to do, because it's just very hard to have some sort of feedback. It's a very frustrating intellectual process, the studying for it. So, all right, John, what about you?
I felt the same way as Anderson. I mean, the questions themselves, actually, I probably didn't feel as confident as Anderson did. You know, I can't reach into his mind, but from what he says, the multiple choice for me are extremely difficult, because you'll get to the end and you'll have two answers, and they're both equally good answers, but there's some obscure component of the law that you just cannot remember. And to me, that's extremely frustrating. It happened more than once, and I made a habit of circling those questions because I was going to come back to them at the end. And, you know, at the end of the time period, I had maybe 10 or 15 minutes left, and I said, there's no way. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to look at them. And I just stopped. I was done at that point.
Mm. Yeah, and I want to say that I was listening to, I think it was a PMBR CD where they said this, and they were just talking about how grueling the multi-state is. And the guy said, it's like this. It's like there's going to be 50 questions where you're really certain. Like, the right answer just screams out at you and flies off the page, and there's just no questions. 50. The other 150, you're guessing. And for 100 of those questions, it's like you're basically, it's like a Hail Mary between one or two. They're both equally good. And you're basically like guessing with your gut. And, you know, the other 50, it's like a different level of guessing. But you're basically guessing for 150 of them. They're educated guesses, but it gets to the point where they're, you know, there's so many that are equally good. So there's that going on. I felt the first or the third quadrant, the first part of the MBE, I felt pretty focused, and I set myself, you know, a pattern of reading the call of the question first and then going and reading the question. And I was doing that really mechanically and really methodically for the first part. As we get into the fourth quadrant, we'll see that I started to lose it and started to see myself losing it. But in any case, so we had the 90-minute break, and then we're going back, and this is, you know, going back for the last and final quadrant. So did you guys notice anything different on the break of the second day? Anderson, we'll start with you, or was it basically the same type of vibe that you saw on the first day at the break?
Well, again, and I should say that because I was in Buffalo, I knew five people out of this 3,500 students who are there in this convention center. So I wasn't really talking to anybody. And again, I was one of the first people out of the convention center. And this time I just went back to my hotel room and kind of sat by myself and I think watched television and fooled around on the internet for a little bit, called my parents, and then went back. So I didn't really see how anybody else was doing.
Okay. And did that work for you? Like, did you feel sort of rested to go back and finish the exam?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I did, yeah. I felt kind of almost giddy about the multiple choice just because they weren't essay questions. Hello?
Hope, are you there?
Hello?
I think we lost her.
I'm here. Hello?
I think we lost her, Anderson.
Oh, we lost her. Okay. What should we do?
Let's call this number back. We might be able to reconnect.
Okay.
Guys?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is John.
Hi, I'm here.
We lost you for a second.
Yeah, this is, sorry, I'm on a cell phone and these things are precarious, but we're back.
Survive.
What was the last thing that was said? I don't even remember.
I believe, well, I don't know what they cut out. I said that I was just sort of giddy about taking the multiple choice questions because they weren't essay questions, so it was easy for me to kind of get excited about it. So I felt like I had energy.
Cool, yeah. See, I mean, it does explain, you know, as you said before, when you said you felt really, you know, pretty good that fourth part, and I said that doesn't really cohere with the research, but the fact that you had, you know, you went back, you had some time for yourself, you just basically didn't talk to anybody, it makes sense that you would feel like that, that you, given what you did for that break, because it sounds like your left brain was able to take a little nap, your right brain took over, and that is what exactly you need to do. Because the multi-state exam is like heavily, heavily left brain. We're talking, this is a multiple choice exam. It's linear logical reasoning. There's very little room, if any, for any sort of creativity, unlike the essay portion or even your memo portion. And so, John, going back to that fourth quadrant, what did you do after the third? Did you have a similar experience? Did you go off by yourself or did you hang out with some people?
I went back to the Michigan State, again, the room where no one was talking about the bar, and people seemed to be talking most about what they were going to do after the bar, where they were going to go out to drink, and, you know, things like that. My experience with that fourth quadrant was a little bit different, I think, than Anderson's, because I just lost it as soon as I hit that. I don't know if my brain was tired or what, but I ran into questions. I could pick out what I thought were experimental questions. I hope that they were experimental questions. But there were questions in there about things like the Fair Housing Act and
yes.
stuff that I had no idea about. And I just lost it at that point. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm ready to move on, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and I want to say that fourth quadrant is really, there's several things going on in that fourth quadrant that are testing the will. One is it's at the breaking point. So we're looking at 3-4 o'clock, and that is when you're getting this dip. Number two is that we're talking over usage of left brain. Like the left brain has not been given an adequate chance for recuperation. And also it's the last part of the exam, and there's this anticipation, like this idea of, okay, I'm at the last part, and this is the end. So all of these forces acting on you, and the fact that the end of the exam, the time of day that it is, what you've been doing for that day, not to mention the day before, you're just pretty burnt out. And I saw myself, as I mentioned before, when I was in that first quadrant, I was looking at the call of the question first and then reading the question. Then I saw myself, and I was aware of the breaking point and aware of all the stuff going in and aware that I would probably lose it in the fourth quadrant. And because I was aware of it, I actually found the whole thing really amusing. because some of these questions in the fourth quadrant were just, you know, you had to be kidding me. And I think, you know, it's like that the gate, closing of the gate, Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, I think they know this, and I think that they know that where you are psychologically with some of these questions. And I, at that point when I like got one of these really long questions, I seriously like sat, I got really comfortable in my chair. I sat Indian style and I was like, all right. Okay, <well. laughs> And I just remember like smiling and laughing and it just seemed so absurd to me. But it's something that, you know, you should expect in the fourth quadrant to sort of just start to lose focus. I definitely saw myself doing it. All right, and so afterwards, Anderson, feeling afterwards, did you feel relief? Did you feel...
I don't really know if I felt anything. I've been trying not to think about it very much. And I went out with the other MSU students who were in Buffalo, and but not very late. I was exhausted, and woke up in the morning and drove through Canada to Lansing to spend a night there, and then drove back through Pennsylvania back to Brooklyn and stopped in Pennsylvania to visit cousins. So I was kind of on the road for 3 days straight after that, and that was kind of nice because it was just completely mindless. I wasn't thinking about the exam at all, and I was just it was completely numbing. It was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine it would be. I also had to go on the road right afterwards, and I had a very similar experience. John, go ahead.
I actually had a similar experience, except I was moving also at the time. I went out that night. Michigan State threw a little party, and it didn't last very long, so I went to that. And then I met up with a few friends at a different place, and I actually ran into one that told me that Anderson was going to be in town. So I drove over to see him the next day, and then I basically moved everything out of my house, and I was gone. And I've been working ever since, so I haven't had much time to think about anything. So,
yeah, and similarly, I drove to my home right after, and I think I mentioned I took the maybe I didn't mention on the air, but I was not done, and I, you know, had to take an exam the Friday after the MPRE, which is the other portion that you have the it's not I guess it's part of the bar exam, but it's not. You have to take it to get your score on the bar exam, and you have to take it to get your license. And I took that last Friday. So I definitely did not feel relief, but it was great to just to drive home. And I just felt it's an experience that for me, it's not about passing or failing because I don't think I'll practice, but just looking at the bar exam as an experience, as a test, for me, it was a test of, you know, not only your intellectual ability, but also really testing you emotionally, psychologically, and really stretching your capacities. And I found that, like, sort of looking at the whole experience as a sort of huge test that's really stretching your capacities is something satisfying. And oddly, I felt gratitude, you know, sort of driving home. I felt gratitude for the experience and going through the whole thing. That's past. And there's no way that I, you know, feel gratitude so much to look at the essays that are sitting right across from me. It's not going to happen. So Anderson, like, after it's, you're now 2 weeks out, and so what do you think? Did it measure up to your expectations? Was it as hard as you were expecting? Was it harder?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I was expecting, I guess it was pretty much what I expected, and I haven't really been thinking about it. Actually, I've been working a lot and trying to stay busy. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that says a lot. It's just something that you do. And you don't really think about it afterwards. I think it says a lot about the kind of psychological experience that it is. John, do you have a similar take on it?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't think much about it, but I talk to some of the partners in the firm that I work for, and when they talk about their bar exam experience, they have this kind of look in their eye, like, yeah, I survived it, and it's almost indescribable. And like you said, I also felt kind of a lot of gratitude for the experience, and when I look at them and I kind of see that in their face, I can almost feel what it would mean to have that final result delivered to you, and to know that the whole thing was yours and that you had done it and you had passed and it was over. And I'm kind of basking in the glow of that for a while until I actually get those results. So let's just hope that it continues.
Yeah, I mean, even if you fail, and I don't mean you, but one, even if one fails, I have a tremendous respect for people who go through the whole thing because it is a huge test of will and discipline, and that is an accomplishment in and of itself. So I'm with you with that. I think that's what you're saying, that there's just something gratifying about seeing yourself go through the trial and come out alive and just say, yep, I did it. And you're not even really thinking about it, just, nope, I did it. And I just think that that says a lot. Do you want to add anything to that, Anderson?
I guess I'd sort of just like to go on the record saying that I did not feel grateful for the experience.
So noted. So any, Anderson, any other final remarks? Are you sort of, you feel anxious about the results or do you not want the results?
Well, you know, in my day-to-day life, I've been staying pretty busy and I haven't been thinking about it too much until now. But I have had a few dreams where one was actually a dream about a specific problem that was actually on the exam where I kind of woke up at 4 a.m, like completely panicked. So I guess I am feeling quite anxious about it, but I just haven't let myself dwell on it too much.
John, didn't you have a dream also?
I did, and it was actually when you had sent me an email about this show, and I hadn't been thinking about the bar exam much, but 2 nights in a row I had dreams about the bar exam, and it wasn't about a specific question. They were just kind of these generalized dreams about retaking the bar exam or sitting in that room again and having to do it over again. And, you know, consciously I have no fear of that. If I had to go back and take it again, it wouldn't be as big of a deal this time as it was last time, but something subconsciously, you know, obviously doesn't feel the same way because it feels that the need to wake me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and it's so bizarre because I also had a dream, except it was a very good dream, which is the first good law-related dream I've ever had in my life. like during law school, after exams, I would have nightmares and just, you know, I would stay up at night. Why didn't I put this on the exam? But oddly, for this experience, since the first time ever, I had a dream where I actually got a letter from the bar, the Michigan Council of Bar Examiners, whatever it's called, and they said they like commended me for the excellence on the exam. They said like the dream, it was my exam was perfect. However, there were different grades of perfection, and my exam was on the lowest. There's actually 4 different grades of perfection, and I was on the very, you know, bottom rung of it. But you know, I had this wonderful dream about it. I think it's hilarious. But because my whole experience, I've been having nightmares. Who knows what it means? I think for me, it was just like going through the whole thing. It doesn't really matter if I pass or fail. And as you said, John, like it's going through the first time. That's just because you don't know what to expect. Now you know what to expect. So it does give you, you know, some sort of edge or advantage. So given that, that's what our show is about, helping you know what to expect. Should you do this? And, We have about a minute left, and I just want to thank once again Anderson Duff and John DiGiacomo for sharing their experiences for posterity.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and good luck, guys, and thanks so much, and hopefully you'll have some positive dreams. And and John, please don't look at those essay questions anymore.
I'll try not to. I can't promise anything.
Good luck with everything, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.